Welcome back to the Draft Lab. I'm Joel Worth, and this is the IDP Plus Best Ball Show. This week, as promised, we are going to talk about perhaps the most controversial roster-building strategy in best ball, and my personal favorite roster-building strategy, and that's zero running back, or zero RB, or hashtag zero RB, as the kids would say. We're going to talk about what it is, why you might want to do it, and how to execute a zero RB roster plan. So before we get into that, quick look at the underdog drafts. They are filling up quick. The big board is at 95% full. There are about 10,000 openings left. And Leaderboard 2 is absolutely flying. That's a $3 20-entry max tournament. You may remember last week at this time, it was under 50%. Now we're all the way up to 73.5% filled. About 15,000 openings left, and it's moving fast. I went from under 70% earlier this evening to like 73.5% right before I came on. So moving quick. So if you want to get, you're like me and you want to get those entries in to max out at 20, you're going to have to get moving on that. And I need to get mine in because I need more research to do. So let's get into the main topic today, zero running back. So what is zero running back? Now, the people who kind of dismiss zero RB, they're just going to say that, you know, you're just trying to predict injury or you're trying to capitalize on injury. And that's not really accurate. And there's a lot more to it than that. So what zero RB is acknowledging that the running back position is inherently kind of fraught with danger and unpredictability. And so we're going to prioritize filling the rest of our starting spots, filling, you know, the majority of the contributors to our best ball roster with more reliable options, receivers, high-value quarterbacks, high-value tight ends. So there's a lot of reasons why you want to do this. One, it's a portfolio strategy, right? We're building a portfolio of rosters that we're going to submit to, you know, large entry tournaments. So we want to diversify. And one of the ways to do that is by using different roster building strategies. And zero RB is one of those strategies. It's not just, like I said, it's not just, you know, I'm trying to predict injury. I know injury is going to happen. I don't know which running backs are going to get hurt, but I know some, if not most of them, you know, most of the high draft position ones are going to get hurt. That's just a fact. It happens every single year. I don't know necessarily which ones, but I can kind of make some educated guesses and I can use some kind of strategies to fill out my running back room. And we'll get to that in a minute. A lot of the reason you want to do this is just because of the way the league is right now. The 70s are long gone, right? So you're not getting the Walter Payton types who are getting 300, 350 carries a year. That doesn't exist anymore. Most teams are using split backfields. Very few backs, even if they stay healthy for the whole year, will get more than 55, 60% of the snaps or carries. So it's just acknowledging that the running back position does not exist the way that it used to when, you know, when fantasy started back in the 80s, back in the 90s. Running back was much more pivotal in the league and in fantasy. And it's just not that way anymore. And we probably, I think rosters of, you know, the default positions that you have to fill out are kind of probably outdated. We should probably start to look at that, but that's not for me to decide. I'm not the grand poobah of fantasy, but it just doesn't reflect the way the league works anymore. So we also need to speak about the nature of replacement. So if a receiver gets hurt, who is he being replaced with? And if a running back gets hurt, who is he being replaced with? So if a receiver gets hurt, if it's your number one receiver, he's probably being replaced by the number four receiver, number five, depending on the position. If it's a X receiver, Z receiver, you know, flanker, slot guy. If it's a slot guy, you may not have a secondary slot guy. That may be the number six receiver on your roster just becomes the best slot guys. They just don't make good replacements. So you want to prioritize having good receivers because they just don't have kind of ready-made backups. Whereas running backs, if I know the kind of top two running backs in a system, I know that if one gets hurt or if one underperforms, I know where those snaps are going to go. And those snaps are going to exist, right? Because teams aren't going to stop running the ball just because one of the running back, their lead running back gets hurt. That doesn't happen. They may, you know, they may pass a little bit more than they would have, but they're not going to stop running the ball. So that number two back, who is probably closer in like talent and ability level to the number one back than the number four receiver or number five receiver is to the number one or number two receiver, that number two back is just going to kind of slide in. He's going to get most of the snaps that the number one back would have gotten, most similar opportunities level. So he's just going to slide into where that number one back was, whereas there's going to be a real steep drop off between that prime wide receiver who may get hurt and his replacement. So, you know, that's the reason you want to prioritize getting high level, reliable receivers. And you can slide taking running back to later because there are plenty of replacements. There's plenty of opportunity to fill those spots. There's also, we want to talk about the nature of the types of touches that receivers and running backs get. Receivers get balls in space, ideally, right? They're getting passes that they're going to catch, and they're going to be tackled by, you know, a cornerback, maybe a safety. Whereas a high percentage of a running back's touches are going to be, you know, in between the tackles. They're going to be running through the meat of the offensive line where the, you know, the big bodies are going to be attacking him, trying to tackle him, falling on him. There's just kind of a massive humanity in there. It just increases the likelihood that they're going to get injured, right? It's just more higher degree of difficulty on those touches, higher likelihood of getting injured than it is for a receiver. So that, you know, that's just kind of intuitively, that's why running backs get hurt more than receivers do. So let's take a look at last year's ADP for the running backs. Let's look at the top 24 and let's see what happened to them. Just to give you an example of, you know, and this is fairly typical. So number one is Christian McCaffrey, who obviously had a great year, right? Austin Eckler was number two, which seems remarkable, right? He's got an ADP of the 90s right now. Last year, he was the number two running back and a top five pick. Missed three games and really kind of underperformed expectation. Nick Chubb was number three. He got hurt in the second or the first half of the second game of the year, missed the rest of the season. Saquon Barkley was number four, missed three games. Derrick Henry was fine. Kind of his touches declined a little bit, but he was still good. Bijan Robinson was good, but got Arthur Smith. Tony Pollard was number seven, played a full season, but really, really disappointed. He had an ADP of 20, so he was a second round pick and just did not live up to that billing. Josh Jacobs was fine, played the full season, but, you know, had a down season compared to 22. Breece Hall was nice, came back from injury and, you know, came back from the ACL and played well. So that's an example of one that worked out. Ramondre Stevenson was number 10, missed five games, and one of them was the last game of the season, so didn't count for fantasy, but missed, you know, missed that pivotal playoff stretch, right? Missed the final game to get in, missed the 3 weeks of the playoffs, so that's a big deal. Jonathan Taylor missed 5-6 weeks, I think. Joe Mixon was fine. Damian Pierce just got bodied on playing time by Devin Singletary. Just didn't do anything. And he was RB number 13 last year. Najee Harris was RB 14. Not great, but okay. Played all season. Travis Etienne was 15. Obviously had a very good year. Miles Sanders was RB 16. He's barely getting drafted this year. Just completely fell off the face of the earth. Kenneth Walker was 17, missed a week or two, but otherwise was fine. Alexander Mattison kind of just completely underperformed. Some of us predicted that, some of us did not. So just didn't do anything worthwhile. Jahmyr Gibbs was very good, but missed a couple weeks himself. David Montgomery was number 20. He missed 3 weeks. Aaron Jones was 21. He missed 6 weeks. Cam Akers was 22. Cam Akers got traded because he was so bad and then tore his Achilles again in week 9. So obviously not, that did not work out. Dalvin Cook was number 23. So washed that he couldn't even get on the field. And then James Conner was number 24. I think he missed 4 weeks as well. Predictably, I mean, you kind of knew that when you were drafting James Conner, but again, 4 weeks is 4 weeks. So that just goes to show you how much opportunity there is for, you know, the running backs who are taking the place or filling in behind these guys. So if you can kind of collect those running backs that are going to fill in and you get enough of them, then you can kind of make do and have a solid enough running back room to get you through and just relying on the other positions, the wide receivers, the quarterbacks, the high-end tight ends to kind of carry your team. And then you just need kind of replacement level play from, you know, not zeros, from your running backs, and you're going to be okay. And if you think about it in your, say, go to your home leagues, your redraft leagues, your dynasty leagues, at some point in almost every season, right, the entire league hates their running backs, right? It just always seems to happen. So if you're the team that didn't invest in running backs, then you've kind of already won. So that's kind of the basis of the strategy. It's just assuming that I'm not predicting any specific running back to get hurt. I'm saying that high percentage of the ones that are drafted early are going to get hurt. So I'm going to build my roster to account for that and take advantage of that. So how do we want to build a zero RB roster? So some things to consider. Scoring matters, right? So we're talking about best ball, primarily underdog, half PPR. So that kind of increases the importance of touchdowns, decreases the value of, you know, the running backs who get a high percentage of their touches through receptions, or their value through receptions. So we don't want to focus on those guys so much. That, you know, it's fine if we take them at the back end of the draft, but those aren't the receiving backs aren't the ones that we're going to target early. The number of starters and flex spots matters. So if you think about the underdog best balls, they're start eight. You've got quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, tight end, and a flex. So that means you can only start three running backs or four receivers in a given week. Your starters are going to be from that. So you need to take that into account. If you were in a league that, you know, or that has a lot deeper rosters where you have to start three running backs or something like that, then zero RB may not be such a good idea. But the more condensed the rosters are, the better zero RB is going to work out for you. So what do you want to prioritize in your other positions? So quarterback, I want an elite quarterback and I want an elite tight end. The reason for that is you're potentially giving up a weekly advantage to the other teams from your running backs, right? Because you're not prioritizing them. So there's a likelihood that other teams are going to score higher than you in any given week at those two positions. So you need to make up for that somewhere. So you can't be giving up points to other positions. So you need high-end quarterback and you need a high-end tight end. Now, so I want a quarterback with some rushing upside, even if, you know, I don't necessarily need a Josh Allen or a Jalen Hurts, but the quarterbacks I'm going to target are going to be the Anthony Richardson, Kyler Murray types that are going to give me kind of a weekly floor and the ability to put up some real crooked numbers, because again, I need to build in some advantage in those positions. Tight end, again, you need to take into consideration the scoring format. If it's like tight end premium, you know, there's a lot more tight ends you can kind of pull under the elite umbrella. Here in Underdog, it's half PPR, so you need to kind of discount the high volume tight ends, the Evan Engram, David Njoku types, and you want to focus on the tight ends who are going to score touchdowns, because that's what's really important. That's what's going to drive tight end scoring. So prioritize tight ends that come from elite offenses. So obviously Sam LaPorta is a good idea. Travis Kelce, playing the Chiefs. That's where you're going to get your primary tight end scoring. So those are the high-end types that you want to focus on. So I'm willing to go, and I'm going to kind of aggressively go after high-end tight ends and high-end quarterbacks, because I need that buffer. I can't be kind of relying on, you know, say a Kirk Cousins, Jared Goff quarterback room, because that's just not going to provide enough upside. You know, if the rest of your team is great, that's, you know, that's okay. But if you're, you know, potentially giving up a scoring advantage to the running backs every week, then you need to be making that back up in your quarterbacks and in your tight ends. You do want to monitor the rest of the draft for other zero RB drafters. It's okay if there's another zero RB, you can get away with it. If there's maybe two other zero RB drafters, again, we're talking about 12-team league here. If it gets to four, you may want to have to pivot out. And don't be afraid to pivot. It's not the end of the world, right? If you recognize it early enough, you can kind of pivot out, take your chances with like the dead zone running backs that you're typically trying to avoid. But sometimes they can provide you good value. Like Travis Etienne last year was a dead zone running back who worked out. So if you see, you know, if you see you're in a draft and a bunch of other team, you know, multiple three, four other teams are doing the exact same thing you are, you may be, you want to be the first one to kind of get out of there and just get back on a regular track, because you might, you know, you don't want to get stuck without kind of fighting for the those back end running back targets, because that's going to be a real problem. So make sure, just keep an eye on the rest of the, you do need to, you can't just focus on your team. You need to look at the rest of the draft. You need to see what everyone else is doing and make sure that they're not going to be coming after you. 10 team leagues, right? It's it's almost too easy to do zero RB, just because you're going to get starters, you know, in the eighth, ninth, 10th round, you're going to get starting running back. So that's fairly easy to do. One thing that's really important is when you're doing this, you need to stop drafting wide receivers. Once you've kind of filled your lineup and given yourself a backup or two, then you need to stop. So in this format, I am stopping usually after five, but after no more than six wide receivers. You have to move on, because just the likelihood that those seventh and eighth receivers are going to hit your lineup is so remote when you have those other, you know, if you're in round eight and you've taken five receivers already, those are the ones you expect to be hitting your lineup on a kind of a weekly basis. So those receivers you're getting in the seventh, eighth round, it's not adding any extra value to your team, because if those receivers you drafted in the first five rounds aren't panning out for you, and those seventh, eighth, ninth round guys are the ones you need, you've kind of already lost. So it's a bit of an all-in strategy, but you need to maximize your potential and maximize your ability to hit, you know, that high end. We need to start drafting running back, like I said, no later than, you know, after you've got five or six receivers, you've got your quarterback, you get your tight end. It's going to be pretty obvious, right? You're going to look at the available players and you're going to see that running backs are your best options. So that's when you want to kind of start moving into drafting your running backs. So which running backs are we going to target? Now, We're not talking about specific players here. We're talking about kind of archetypes. What type of running back do you want to go to? The first thing you want to look at is the unloved starters, right? The starters from bad teams, starters that are just unsexy and nobody wants, starters that maybe people don't trust, and you know, that last kind of into the middle rounds. Because like we talked about last week, when you're doing a zero RB draft, your kind of sweet spot is the middle of the season, because that's when, you know, the injuries are going to happen. And that's when the likelihood that, you know, your roster is going to be kind of maximized. So you need someone to kind of fill in the gaps early in the season. So if you can get those early start or these early unloved starters, that's just a way to buffer your lineup. So kind of examples of this year are, like we talked about last week, Devin Singletary with the Giants. Again, unsexy, but like we said last week, he has familiarity with the system. He played with Brian Daboll when they were both in Buffalo. Even though I expect the Giants to draft a running back, he's someone I expect to kind of hold the job. He held the job in Houston all year last year. Zach Moss is the nominal starter in Cincinnati right now. Again, he's in an excellent offense, but just, you know, he's a guy that nobody really trusts. Most people are going to say, oh, he's just coming off a lucky season or a career season like that. So, again, even if they draft him to the running back, he's the nominal starter. He's got the job right now. So he's someone you want to target. Again, like that Gus Edwards in Los Angeles with the Chargers. I think everyone in the world expects him to draft like Corum, but like Corum may not be good, right? He may not be a good pro, and then Gus Edwards gets the job. So is it likely that he holds a job all year? Probably not, but you don't need him to, right? You're going to have so many running backs that are going to kind of rotate in and out of your lineup that as long as he's good enough to give you a couple starts, a few starts, you know, 4, 5, 6 starts a year, that's all you really need. You also want to look at split backfields. Now, these are your 55-45, 60-40 backfields where the kind of uncertainty of the entire backfield just pushes everyone down. It's kind of the low tide sinks all boats kind of thing. So, because there's questions about the workload, the 1A back gets pushed down and the 1B back gets pushed way down and probably too far down, right? Because even if someone's getting, you know, 45% of the carries, that's still valuable. This still has the potential to kind of hit your lineup on in any given week. So some examples of that. Tennessee this year with Tony Pollard and Ty J. Spears. They're basically the exact same running back. Nobody knows how this is going to shake out. So take advantage. Embrace the uncertainty. Take the one that falls lower. Take them both if they both fall. Obviously it's not ideal in a best ball scenario to have two running backs from the same team. But, you know, if you can lock in a kind of guaranteed starter, that's just fine. Some other examples, Seattle, Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet, Pittsburgh with Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. Even, you know, those 45% guys, 40% snapshare guys, nobody wants to draft them early because they don't trust the workload. So that's when you can kind of swoop in, take those guys, get a solid weekly floor, right? And the ability for them to be regular starters if injury or underperformance happens to the 55%, the 1A guy. The other guys you want to target are running backs with defined specific roles. So even though they may not be the starter, they may not get any more than like 30% of the snaps, you know exactly when they're going to get those snaps, and you know they're going to get those snaps every week. So specifically like passing game back or passing down backs, hurry up offense backs, like the 4-minute offense backs. So some examples of those, Roschon Johnson with the Bears. We saw last year that, you know, even though he wasn't playing full time, he was their preferred back in like hurry up, come from behind situations. again, that doesn't give you a very high ceiling, but it gives you a floor of, you know, a certain number of touches and a certain number of or a certain amount of production each week. And that, and that's valuable, right? You're just trying to push up that bottom line of your team scoring. Antonio Gibson, one of my kind of perpetual favorites. Good player, but for whatever reason, just hasn't been able to take a full snap share load. Changing teams this year, he's in New England, backing up Ramondre Stevenson, who we just talked about, missed five games at the end of the last year. So that situation repeats itself. Antonio Gibson's going to be a very valuable player. And then you get to the handcuffs. And that's, you know, that's what the anti or the skeptical people skeptical of zero RBs. Oh, that's what you're just taking everyone else's handcuffs. Really, the handcuff is it's not our priority, but it's guys that we'll take later in the draft just because it's going to provide you some value. Ty Chandler, we talked about Deonta Foreman last week, my favorite kind of 20th round pickup, just because we don't know when Nick Chubb's going to come back. And last year we saw the Browns kind of wait until the season started right before the season started to draft or pick up the backups for Nick Chubb. This year they went out, they kind of aggressively made a play for Deonta Foreman. We've seen Deonta Foreman produce when given opportunities over the last couple of years. He 1,000-yard rush for Carolina 2 years ago. Last year, when both Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson were hurt, he kind of seamlessly plugged in for the Bears, had a 3-touchdown game. So that's the kind of output that's going to spike your weekly scoring potential. So again, he's available in the 20th round. Just a guy I'm snapping up just regularly, especially in zero RB builds. And then there's the rookies, which, like we also talked about last week. Now you're trying to pigeonhole where they can go, but somebody's got to go to Dallas, right? Dallas just doesn't have a running back right now. Seems unlikely they're going to make a trade. So somebody's got to go there, whether it's Jonathan Brooks, whether it's Jalen Wright. Those guys are available so late in the draft. Like, these guys don't have great prospect profiles, but somebody's going to have to fill that role. So you can get these guys late. And, you know, even if they don't go to Dallas and get a full-time role, they're still probably going to get some snaps somewhere. So group of players to target. And last, and this is my favorite, target the backups of starters that you just don't like or don't trust. And the perfect example of this last year is Cam Akers, right? Cam Akers, in, at the end of 22, had that great stretch. You know, he won people leagues. There was still, like, I didn't trust that. I'm not trying to toot my own horn because I'm obviously not alone. But if you could have identified that and said, okay, I'm just going to ignore, I don't like Cam Akers. I think whoever the backup is in for a very large role and a very valuable role, because the running back in a Sean McVay offense is going to score a lot of points. Now, I get the hard part is identifying what that backup is. But the easy target is finding that backfield should be pretty easy. It's, I don't like this player. I don't think he can produce. So I'm going to stick with my guns, stick with my instincts, and say, this guy's going to fail. I'm going to take his backup. Where worked out with Kyron Williams last year, not so much with Zach Evans, but the right process was targeting Cam Akers' backup because we didn't trust Cam Akers. So. Now let's talk about the other kind of alternative options. And there's really only one, that's the hero RB, where you draft one kind of elite running back, and then do the kind of zero RB thing that we just talked about. The benefits here are, one, it avoids those dead zone running backs, those, you know, third through sixth round running backs who just kind of have a real spotty history of production. But you still get kind of that anchor running back who you think is going to produce. And as a portfolio play, again, we talked about last week, Christian McCaffrey is the overwhelming favorite to go 101. or to go in the one spot. He's dropped down to an ADP of 1.2 from 1.1. So you're starting to see some other players sneak into that one position. But if you don't have a one or two pick, you're not getting Christian McCaffrey. So if you're in drafts where you, you know, you get slotted into the one or two and he becomes available to you and you want to include him, like Christian McCaffrey is a great player, I want to get him in my portfolio as much as possible. The only, you know, the only option you to do that is if you have those high picks, and those aren't going to come along all that often. So you need to kind of take them where you get them. So if you want to still do the zero RB thing, you can do the hero RB and just work from there. So that's an option as well. So hope this has helped. If you're someone who's been thinking about zero RB, if you're someone who doesn't understand zero RB and wonders what all the fuss is about, hope this has helped kind of be an explanation, help you understand why you might want to do it, and help you understand how to do it. So that's it for this week. You can follow me at TheJoelWorth on Twitter. Feel free, hit me with the DMs if you have any questions. We want to talk about zero RB, one of my favorite things to talk about. So feel free to hit me up anytime, and we will talk to you next week.